Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well,
somebody stop me,
Mummy.
Whenever you're ready, Tess.
Hello, you're welcome to... What?
Out of practice, isn't it?
Hello, you're listening...
I like the idea of...
I'm fucking deleting
that.
Hello,
you are welcome to...
I'm fucking deleting that shit. Hello, you're welcome to listen to our new podcast, Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. I'm your new host, Tiss.
Beautiful.
No. Hello... You're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable, again, don't know why, but you are, welcome back. I'm going to be hosting this one. My name's Tiss, if you didn't know, and co-hosting with me, as always, if you didn't know, introduce yourself, boys.
Hi, my name is Bob Shoy, in case you didn't know, and I'll be co-hosting on this episode.
In case you didn't know.
And I'm Beef. In case you didn't know, and welcome to our new show.
Nice.
I don't know why you're here.
And in case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know, we're...
Such a stupid expression. Just in case you didn't know.
It sounds like the sort of
I just thought I'd try something
passive-aggressive argument.
Yeah, it's a very, like, aggressive way to start a show. In case you didn't know, you fucking dickhead.
Yeah, in case you fucking didn't know, you absolute c***s. After 150 episodes, 100 and what episodes? What are we on?
180. This is episode 187.
Yeah, so you should know by now, but just, if you don't, yeah, this is who we are, yeah? Starting with a bit of aggression.
And if it's your first episode, go back to the start.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so aggressive.
And if it's your second episode, also go back to the start. And if it's your third, then whatever. You're obviously freestyling it.
And if it's your 182nd episode, go and fill in the last ones you haven't heard.
Yeah. Yeah. So, where are we at? We're on our third episode now of Indiana Jones series.
Yes.
Yeah.
There would have been a little something between this one and the last one, because I put out an episode of stuff I recorded in New Orleans.
Nice.
New Orleans.
Talking about ghosts and voodoo and things that happened to me there. I nearly fainted when I was there, guys, on a ghost tour. I got overcome by a spirit and nearly fainted.
No.
I did some voodoo ritual stuff with a priest. I had a wild time. It was really crazy and really fun. And then I went to Florida and got stuck in a hurricane. But... I'm here.
That's because you did voodoo stuff.
Do you know what, Bob?
Maybe.
You guys got stuck in the hurricane because you did voodoo.
Do you know what, Bob, actually? You remind me of the babe.
The babe?
Yeah. The babe with the power.
Babe Ruth.
The power of voodoo. Who do? You do. Do what? Remind me of the babe. Yeah.
For goodness sake.
Thanks.
On it with that.
Wait a minute.
If you know,
so
you know.
You were overcome by a ghost. I thought you didn't believe in ghosts.
I Well, I don't know what happened, but I was on a ghost walk. Listeners would have already heard this, but I was on a ghost walk and I was feeling fine. I'd had loads of food. I had a big fried oyster po' boy and drank loads of beer, had a nap, and then I went on a ghost walk that night. So this was all afternoon, and I went on a ghost walk that night. And I was fine. I was feeling breezy. I was wearing a pair of light trousers, light shirt, perfectly satiated, not drunk anymore. And then halfway through the tour, we went past this like really notorious house, and he was telling the stories from it. And halfway through, it was like I suddenly went absolutely cold, absolutely stone cold. Cold sweat dripped from like every pore in my body. Like I was slick with liquid in a space of about 10 seconds. And then I was like frantically looking around like I was going to throw up somewhere. Because I felt or like faint or something, just like what the fuck, and then had to like basically just collapsed onto the floor and like sat on the curb and listened to the rest of the story. And then at the end of the story, he didn't notice any of this has happened to me because it was quite a big group. But Becca was really worried and she's like, "Oh, do you want to go? Do you want to go?" I was like, "No, I'm fine. I just need to recover." I felt fine as soon as we went past the house, and he said afterwards, not because he knew I'd fainted, he didn't know, but he said, I have lots of stories of people feeling faint when they go past this house. So there we go.
Wow. So now you believe in ghosts?
No, I think it was just a disgusting story.
Oh.
It made me feel faint.
Because
it wasn't really a ghost story, it was about a woman who tortured her slaves, and it really made me feel sick.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Wow. Bob is a believer. I knew it would happen.
Where was this? In New Orleans?
Yeah.
Was it hot?
Nick Cage bought that house.
Did he?
Yeah, it was fucking hot. Yeah, it was really hot.
Maybe that was it.
But it was an evening. It wasn't like the hottest I've ever been. Like there was much. It was way hotter in the days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. But,
yeah, anyway. So that happened, and then I did voodoo stuff. And yeah, it was good fun. And then, yeah, like I said, I went to Florida. Hurricane Ian hit when I was there. Good fun, no power, all that stuff. Good. I survived a hurricane and now I'm back in the UK and now I'm back to my studies. They fucking suck. And Tis, we're going to talk about the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah, we are. Spoiler alert.
I think the listeners know we're talking about the Holy Grail.
So I'll start like I start every episode and ask you guys, what do you know about the Grail?
Go on, Beef, you go first.
It's just made up, innit?
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Probably.
You don't believe it's real?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, shit.
It's the cup from the Last Supper, isn't it?
No.
Oh. Thief's not a believer.
It's the cup that... It is the cup that held the blood of Jesus Christ. It was trusted to Joseph of Arimathea.
Okay.
It caught Jesus Christ's blood at the Last Supper. Jesus bled into it at the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And
well, he used wine, didn't he? It wasn't his actual blood.
Well, I don't know.
What, he bled no. wine at the crucifix.
No.
Oh. No, at the Last Supper.
No, at the Last Supper.
No wonder they kept him up there for so long. They were bleeding him dry.
No, it was just wine. It was just wine because they were having dinner. He didn't bleed into the cup,
but didn't
Joseph hold it underneath him when he was dying?
No, when he was dying, he said he was thirsty, so he was like offered a drink on like they kind of like held a cup up on a big stick and
yeah.
tried to give him a drink,
like a big
selfie stick.
But it's like too little, too late by then because he's dying a really horrible death. But
yeah, it's a pretty gruesome scene. A sip of water is the least of his problems.
You could say it's like locking the stable doors after the horse has bolted.
No, I'll tell you what, right? The thing with the Holy Grail is that no one, like none of my Christian friends care about it or even think about it. It just doesn't...
Interesting.
It just doesn't... And actually, it's... Anything like that isn't really, I don't know, we just don't seem to really be that bothered.
What about the Shroud of Turin? Is that real in your eyes or is that another, is that in the same category?
I think what it is these things are much harder to to prove, rather than so like there's a documentary I watched. Sorry, wait, that's a complete lie. Have I watched it? Rachel watched it, and I think I watched a bit of it with her about Jesus's tomb.
Right.
And you can go and visit. You can still go and visit his tomb. And we know it's his tomb because it described in the Bible, it describes where it was, and it describes that it was Joseph's tomb.
Oh, so it's like a family tomb. Considered to actually be the real tomb. It's not just like people say it is.
Yeah, no, it's that's the real deal. Right. So geographical things like that, and that's why the tours are really popular. So you can go to Bethlehem and all the stuff around Jerusalem. Like those locations are still, as they were in the, well, not as they were in the Bible, but it's not, it's like the Bible describes where those places were.
They exist and they are described in the Bible. They're geographically accurate.
And if
you
can go to Golgotha, which is where Jesus went to before he was arrested, and you can look at the Bible, you can read it and be like, yep, this is as it's described. This is exactly what I'm looking at now. But I think those kinds of things, and the shroud and the cup, like, how could you possibly begin? You probably would have a tough job of convincing people that that was the real deal.
I think the most miraculous thing about the Holy Grail is how they kept the wine in it. Do you know what I mean? It's all holy.
I
didn't know where I was going with that, and it was too obvious that my brain didn't accept it.
Yeah. I threw it out. He's not
thought he was
going to
say something intelligent.
No.
Yeah, I thought
that
he was going to go
case,
something else.
Ever.
No. I don't know why we were expecting any different. No, I don't know. It's funny. Like, I do you know what I think it is? I think it's like Christians have this stupid, annoying habit of getting offended at stuff that's just ridiculous. So I think when Dan Brown wrote that book that...
Da Vinci Code.
That's it. So he wrote the Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, and loads of Christians totally lost it, and just it was do you remember, I think there's an episode of The Office where Angela talks about it. Oh, that's it. Yeah. And there's the fire, and she's like, I would take the Da Vinci Code so I could burn the Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
And Dwight goes, well done, that would keep you warm for all of 7 seconds. And it's like that, for me that totally frames perfectly how stupid Christians can be about these sorts of things. It's like, it's just a book, and all of a sudden people were losing their minds about the Holy Grail and Jesus having relationships and all this. It's like, it's just a book, guys, calm down. Maybe that's why all that stuff, it doesn't annoy me. I just don't really pay much attention to it because of how people behaved at the time.
Was Joseph of Arimathea at the Last Supper?
No, I think the guy you're talking, that's, I think he's a theologian, like a first century theologian.
I'm just quoting The Last Crusade. In the film.
This is why it would have helped for me to watch the film again.
They say that the cup holds the blood of Jesus Christ. He was trusted to Joseph of Arimathea. Oh, so he wasn't at the Last Supper, he was trusted to him. He caught Christ's blood.
Yeah.
That's the only notes I wrote from. There's like a big long speech where they explain it near the beginning.
No, that's just fiction.
This might interest you.
Well, it's sandstone, Christian symbol, early Latin text, mid-12th century, I should think.
That was our assessment as well.
Where'd this come from?
My engineers unearthed it in the mountain region north of Ankara while excavating for copper. Can you translate the inscription?
Quis quis bibit aquam, who drinks the water I shall give him, says the Lord, will have a spring inside him welling up for eternal life. Let them bring me to your holy mountain in the place where you dwell, across the desert and through the mountain to the canyon of the crescent moon, to the temple where the cup that holds the blood of Jesus Christ resides forever.
The Holy Grail.
Dr. Jones. The chalice used by Christ during the Last Supper. The cup that caught his blood at the crucifixion and was entrusted to Joseph of Arimathea.
The Arthur legend. I've heard this bedtime story before.
Eternal life, Dr. Jones. The gift of youth to whoever drinks from the grail.
And if I was to add to that, Joseph of Arimathea was also like a rich aristocrat at the time. And he had offered Jesus his tomb for when he died. He had like a tomb. I guess they were quite pricey. And he was like, oh, you can have mine because you're sound. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, interesting. Also, he'd trusted him with a cup that could grant eternal life potentially.
Yeah.
So the tomb, that's all accurate. The other stuff is, I think, fictional.
Did he use his tomb?
Yes. So that's Joseph. That's the tomb. Oh. That's Joseph's tomb. So that's
all coming full circle.
Is that the one where that's Lazarus, isn't it? The one he pushed the stone away and jumped out like a mummy.
Yeah. Like a mummy. Yeah.
He was covered in like rags, Bob, just for context. I know you're not up on the Bible stories.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tis.
I wouldn't have known what you're talking about if you didn't tell me he had rags.
This picture that was from the same book as Herod's little nipple hat.
Herod's was from the same book?
Same book, yeah. I'd fucking love to find that book again, I'll tell you that.
Hang on a sec. So this is Tis's Bible stories. So Lazarus is in the Bible?
Tis's Bible stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lazarus was like Jesus's friend who died.
I thought Lazarus was like a Greek tale.
They were tight.
Yeah, right. They were tight. Like Tis says, Jesus and Lazarus were tight.
It bought him a few pints and, you know.
So what did Lazarus do in relation to Jesus? Who was he?
We don't know too much about Lazarus. So all we know is that, you know, Jesus considered him a friend.
Right.
So
they were tight. So,
as far as I know, he was that Lazarus bloke down the pub. That's how Jesus referred to him in terms of that Lazarus dude.
Yeah.
What are the rags about?
Just that they'd wrap the body. Is that
like
what?
A mummy.
Lazarus, like a mummy. Lazarus used to go to the pub and sell the pirate scrolls. The pirated scrolls. at the time.
Yeah, the only thing you'd find about Lazarus really in the Gospels is he died, and he's one of the people that Jesus resurrected.
Right.
So
resurrected him.
So he brought him back to life, and he'd been dead for.
Didn't he bring him back to life on the first day? But then nothing happened.
No, not 3 days. I think it was longer.
Didn't he go to bring him back to life, and then nothing happened? And then they went, oh, okay, it's not happened. And then they walked away, and then they come back the next day and the stone had been moved. Was that?
That's Jesus.
That's what I was going to say. I thought that was Jesus. That's why I was getting confused about the stone being moved and a mummy popping out.
No, Lazarus, I think it's Lazarus's like family and close relatives asked Jesus to, you know, they don't ask him to do anything. They just tell him that he's died.
And Jesus goes, we'll see about that.
Yeah, basically. He just says, I think it's something like he just calls Lazarus's name outside his tomb. And he walks out all stinky and like, I don't know. After someone's been dead for a few days, that would be pretty stinky, wouldn't it?
Oh, what? And then he's just alive again, or does he die again?
Yeah, no, he's alive, yeah. Yeah. So he
just carries on. And that's the end of that chapter.
Yes, there are a few people, there's a few accounts of Jesus bringing people back to life, yeah.
I didn't know,
one
he did
of which
it.
Was Lazarus.
I thought he just brought himself back to life.
Yeah, no, there's not too many, maybe like, oh gosh, three or four accounts, I think, in the Gospels. Of Jesus doing, it's not like he just goes around a graveyard bringing people back from 50 years ago.
Yeah. He's on his way back from the pub showing off.
Yeah.
His mates. Wait, watch this one.
Yeah. No, it's like, so there's a girl that dies and she, but she's like just died.
Mary Magdalene.
No, not Mary Magdalene. No. There's a guy called Jairus, and it's his daughter. All the Bible tells us is his daughter. There's no name. But yeah. Yeah. So back to
back to the Holy Grail.
I was trying to like retrace the steps as well. Anyway, so Beef, you're not convinced of the existence of the Holy Grail?
No, I think it's
what part though? Because he's surely drunk out of a cup. He drank out of a cup at the
exactly,
Last Supper.
Yeah, there were cups. Yeah. There were cups at the Last Supper. You can't deny that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely.
There wasn't just a trough.
Are you saying they just washed it up and it went back in the common lot?
My knowledge of it all is very poor.
Right, Jesus turned water into wine, yeah?
Yeah.
That was a different time.
Yeah.
But at the Last Supper, who's to say he didn't turn wine into blood? And he says, this is my blood. And then people say, wine is the blood of Christ. And that's what they mean when they say that it caught his blood at the Last Supper.
Yeah. No.
Am I mixing too many different elements up into
one? Well, no,
I read a little bit.
He did take the, they did take the cup to the crucifixion and caught his blood in the cup. That's what I read. I wouldn't follow the film.
What, so there's not a 700-year-old knight?
Sean Connery's not an actual historian, you do know that. he's not an actual historian, you know.
Do you like that Henry and Henry both fucked the same woman in that film?
What, sorry, who's Henry?
His dad.
Oh, who's the other Henry? Wait, they're both called Indiana. Henry Indiana.
Yeah, no, they're both called Henry.
What's the Indiana from then?
He's just the name of his dog. It's literally the last line of the film.
Oh, shit. Wait, what?
His name's Junior. He calls him Henry Junior all the way through.
Oh.
It turns out that Indiana was just a name he made up when he left home, and it was actually named after his childhood dog.
Right, I missed that bit.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
You know, sharing your adventures is an interesting experience.
It's not always shared. It's disgraceful. You're old enough to be her grandfather.
I'm as human as the next man.
I was the next man.
Ships that pass in the night.
But they both fuck the same woman. They both fuck Elsa, don't they?
Yeah.
Sorry, make love to Elsa.
And she was a Nazi.
You have to make it so crass and... Yeah.
I found it a bit horrible the way the coitus happened. It just...
The way he like grabs her head and just pushes his face into it.
Yeah.
But then she does the same thing back to him.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse it. That's a male writing a film about it. That's not an actual woman doing it.
It was very James Bond. That bit's... Yeah, it's exactly how Bond does it. Just like push your face into the woman's face until you merge.
And then like a social reinforcing of like, that's what you're supposed to do because it, you know, it garnered results.
It worked for Indy.
What do you think is going on here? Since I met you, I've nearly been incinerated, drowned, shot at, and chopped into fish bait. We're caught in the middle of something sinister here. My guess is Dad found out more than he was looking for. And until I'm sure... I'm going to continue to do things the way I think they should be done.
How dare you kiss me?
Leave me alone. I don't like fast women.
And I hate arrogant men.
Is that why it happened in this film? Because Sean Connery's in it and he was James Bond.
Well, you don't see Sean Connery have sex.
No, thank God.
Elsa.
That'd be absolutely revolting.
It's implied that Indy does it. And then later on, his dad makes a comment about her talking in her sleep. And then Indy's like, wah, 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 like, oh, I know what he's been doing.
Yes, they're necking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're all a bit rapey, those films.
Indy's always shagging girls though, isn't he?
But it's not just Indy, it's like you say, it's the James Bond is
Bond is the worst. Well, we talked about this in the last episode. We spent about 20 minutes talking about Bond. Yes.
So predictable.
About how Roger Moore was the worst one.
Yeah, he was filth. He was outrageous. Anyway, bring us back to this.
Yeah, the film was quite outrageous. but sorry, where were we? We were talking about the film, we were talking about
We were just talking about the Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah, the Holy Grail. Yeah, okay, so yeah.
What it is.
Joseph of Amarenth, or what his name was. Joseph.
Arimathea.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So that was the story. That's one of the stories, one of the many. There's so many different stories about the Holy Grail. I suppose that's the origin story of the Holy Grail.
Right.
There's a few other ones that I've researched, almost like I knew we were going to be talking about it today. So I've got...
Well, in the film, it's... I mean, stop me if you're going to go into any of these, if any of this, but in the film, it's in the Canyon of the Crescent Moon. I think that's just made up, right? That's not... Doesn't show up anywhere.
The Canyon of the Crescent Moon.
It's not real, right?
Is that like a Play-Doh-sponsored canyon?
Well, that's where they follow on the map, isn't it? The Canyon of the Crescent Moon.
Yeah.
But actually, it's Petra in Jordan is the actual...
Jordan.
Well, in the film, I don't know where they filmed it. Oh, no, sorry, I know where they filmed it. It's Petra in Jordan, very famous. But in the film, isn't it supposed to be like Morocco or something?
Yeah, not too sure on that one. Yeah, I don't think...
Because they talk about heading off from Alexandria.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I watched it last night and I already can't remember.
A really forgetful movie.
Yeah, big time.
But I think all that isn't real. There's not a knight that's been alive for 700 years guarding it.
Well.
Oh.
Well.
Hello, here we go.
I guess I'll shut my trap.
Yeah, maybe we've got him on the podcast. Or them. So... So I guess we could talk about, to begin with, the Nazis and their link to the Holy Grail, because there was an actual expedition for the Holy Grail by the Nazis.
Can I ask you, did you watch that documentary I mentioned?
I did.
So did I. So did I.
Amazing. Well, there you go. We can both bounce off each other, because I'm sure there's bits
that I'll
forget.
We're going to talk about Otto Rahn.
Otto Rahn, yes.
Mate, Beef, this blew my mind, the stuff in this documentary. By the way, for listeners, it's on Amazon Prime. The documentary was called The Nazi's Quest for the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Oh.
And this was all based...
It's nuts.
..in the... This was all based in Heinrich Himmler's sort of, like, plan to sort of create a new Germanic race, or Germanic religion, sorry.
Yeah. Well, he was looking for the history of the origins of the Aryan race. He was like, the Aryans are a race... Not that we've ever found any actual origin for the Aryan race, so now I'm going to find it and we're going to create a religion based on that.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he was looking for anything.
Any artifacts, powerful religious artifacts that they could have in their possession, which would give them this divine right to a religion, I guess. And I guess it would galvanize the population.
Yeah, that as well. But Beef, I shit you not.
Go on.
One of these expeditions was him looking for Atlantis because that's where he believed the Aryans came from.
Oh, for goodness sake.
It's
they
mad.
Were,
it's
they
real.
Were loony, weren't they? Like proper loony.
They were well into the occult,
the Nazis.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, big time.
It's mad because the documentary goes into very dark places, obviously talking about the Holocaust and stuff, because that was Himmler's baby. But you're like, the same guy who's looking for Atlantis is also like running these camps.
Yeah.
Does this not show you that he's got a screw loose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's fucking mad, that guy.
What's more mad?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
They're both pretty crazy.
But yeah, let's talk about Otto Rahn then, Tess.
Yeah, Otto Rahn was this dude who wrote a book. I think the book, if I'm right, it documents where he believes the Grail ended up. And I'm trying to remember where it was. It was this palace...
The book was called The Crusade Against the Grail.
Yeah, and it was the Cathars.
It was in Spain, I think. It was in Spain.
Yeah, there was a race, I guess he referred to them as the Cathars. The thing is, the book that he brought out subsequently was with Himmler's help, and it was talking a lot about racial stuff. You know, like the Cathars became that last Aryan Germanic sort of religion race.
So I found it here. The way he thought it was Andorra.
Andorra, yeah. Mm. And it was in this castle which was high up and was like impregnable.
He had basically searched the texts of Parsifal, which talk about the quests for the Holy Grail and King Arthur and all that stuff. and 100% believed that those texts gave a clue to where the Holy Grail's final resting place was, and that the Cathars you mentioned were the legendary keepers of the Grail, and they had hidden it during their final crusade at this palace. And he was looking for this palace that the Cathars, and he believed it to be in Andorra, and that's where he believed the Holy Grail still was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he travelled around on Nazi dollar.
Because the description of this fortress matched the texts, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, here we go, it was the Montsegur.
Montsegur, yeah.
Yeah, Montsegur, location of the Cathars' last stand. Their last stand was against this crusade that the Pope had ordered against them for heresy, for claiming they had the Grail or something like that.
Yeah. And yeah, he travelled around on Nazi dime.
This is all bonkers, this stuff.
Well, Himmler read that. Not many people read that book that he wrote, but Himmler read it and thought it was brilliant and was like, I'm going to pay you to carry on your quest.
Yeah.
This is just, it's just nuts.
It sounds made up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, didn't find it in the end. and plot twist, Otto Rahn was, one, homosexual. So not, you know, the Nazis weren't his biggest fan. And also Jewish by his grandmother's side, I think.
It was his mum was a Jew.
His mum was a Jew, wow. Yeah, so double whammy. So I think he ended his own
double
life.
Double whammy.
he fled, and I think it was some of the, he took drugs and sat under a tree, right, and just froze to death.
When Himmler employed him, he said, we'll give you 1,000 Reichmarks a month to continue your quest. And he gave up looking at these tunnels. He searched these tunnels of Andorra for ages. And then he went through Portugal, Scotland, Iceland. He wrote that second book you talked about, which is called Lucifer's Court. And that was all about documenting his journeys, but also a lot of pro-Nazism stuff. Because Himmler had said, we're going to pay you, but you have to join the SS.
Yeah.
Then when they found out he was gay and a Jew, and also his quest wasn't turning up any fruit, they stationed him at one of the concentration camps, which he found so abhorrent. Eventually he resigned and fled to the Austrian Alps, which is, yeah, that's where he basically fled into the Alps, popped a load of sleeping pills, and like sat down under a tree until he froze to death.
Yeah.
Wow. That is very depressing.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like that, can you imagine that you're hunting for these artifacts? That's your job. That's what you just love it. You love looking for artifacts, and then Himmler comes to you and he's like, "Right, you're going to do it for me." I mean, it would put a sour twist on it. You wouldn't want to do it anymore, would you? It would ruin your hobby.
Well, I think he actually thought Himmler was quite cool to begin with.
Do you think?
I think a lot of people thought Himmler was quite cool to begin with. And then you see, because all the camps, wasn't that like Himmler's
did
idea?
They, was it? Hang on. I have the perfect person sat directly behind me. Rachel, the concentration camps, mm-hmm. Was that Himmler's idea? Was that like his baby, Himmler?
Mm. What? To have concentration camps, or the idea of concentration camps? The first concentration camps were British in the Boer War.
Yeah, but in World War II,
the whole idea of the final solution, as they called it.
Yeah, the idea of the final solution. Whose idea was that?
It's Heydrich idea. Reinhold Heydrich. At the Wannsee Conference.
Was his idea.
Right. He was another fucker.
They had the Madagascar plan before that.
The
Madagascar plan before
that. There was the Madagascar plan before that.
Fucking hell.
To ship all Jewish people to Madagascar and let them die on Madagascar.
Did you hear that?
No.
So the Madagascar plan was to ship all the Jews to Madagascar and just let them die in Madagascar.
Fucking hell. You know, that would have been better.
Probably would have been better, yeah. Yeah, but so Rachel reminded me that...
Not better, because they would have died by the way.
No.
I'm not an anti-Semite. What I mean is they at least had a chance.
We know what you mean. Yeah. We know what you mean. Yeah, good. No, you're not advocating for the final solution.
Oh, God, no, please. Weird Tales is cancelled. It's like the worst atrocity ever.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, Rachel just reminded me, though, that it was the British that used concentration camps before Nazis.
Good old Brits.
We used them in the Boer War.
Oh, of course.
Was that against India?
That's nice, isn't it?
The Boer War was in South Africa, wasn't it?
Yes. South Africa. Wow.
So I got double heritage on that one, guys.
Well, England have done a fucking lot of shit.
But would you... This is my question. Wouldn't... If, say, you were this... What was this chap's name? The artifact man?
Otto Rahn.
Otto Rahn. If you're Otto Rahn, you know, did he really think that Himmler was cool? Or was it like... The alternative to not thinking he's cool is that he might put me in a concentration camp.
To be honest, I don't think he knew about the concentration camps when he was approached by Himmler.
Like when you get a bully, like a bully at school, and you have to just like pretend that you like them because otherwise they're going to pick on you.
I think that book he wrote, the what was it called again? The one about the Holy Grail, his theories about it. The Crusade Against the Grail. I think because he didn't sell that well. I think he was just like pumped that someone approached him who had read it, because Himmler was just like, hey, big fan, sign my copy, and I want to pay for you to continue your research that you ran out of money on. I think he was just like pumped that someone had paid attention to him and was going to fund him. I don't think he knew about the camps and stuff to begin with.
He went back and told his mum. You can imagine it. Mum, someone's read my book. Like, oh, that's nice. Who is it, dear? It doesn't really matter who it is. Just someone's read my book and they really liked it, and they're gonna pay me to. That's really nice. Who's gonna? Where's this money coming from? There, like I say, it doesn't matter. You don't need to know who it is. Just someone's taken an interest.
Your boy's made it, Ma.
That's it. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. It's a cool story. I really didn't. I knew none of that. That's very cool.
No. That was all new to me last night.
We're going to have to watch it on Prime. That sounds good.
It's only 45 minutes long. It's a quick little doc, and it's...
Perfect.
It covers them looking for Atlantis and going to find the lost Aryan nation in Tibet. And
Tibet?
Looking for the ground. Yeah. Like I say, these fuckers were nuts.
Why did they think it would be in Tibet?
Because it was hard to get to, pretty much.
For goodness sake.
Oh, there's got to be pretty much like no German expedition had ever survived the journey there. So they were just like, we'll just send some people, like, there must be something hidden there. It's probably where we're from.
My days. Can you imagine it?
I wouldn't Tibet on it.
Oh, okay.
they found all these files. What was it, Tis? They found all these files in the final days of the German...
Yeah, they found loads of files of their, you know, experiments and studies and, you know, shit like that. The stuff they were looking for was very much occult.
It was like Himmler's little pet quests.
Yeah, there's lots of Nazi quests all over the world. This is why a lot of the films...
Nazi quests.
...are like that, you know. The Nazis were quite weird in that sense.
That is a series on, like, Discovery, by the way.
What, Nazi quests?
I'm sure it's like Nazi quests, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It sounds like one.
The Nazis were quite far-reaching, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because really, they'd put in a lot of dictators in different countries where they had access to.
Well, they wanted to conquer the world, didn't they? So,
what the thing about Atlantis, Beef, they said that Atlantis was this massive island. And when they show on the map how big they believed it was bigger than England. It was like as big as like France or something. And it was halfway between like England and America in that space, just like this massive island in the middle of it, massive continent.
Right.
And when it sunk, that's where the Aryans were maybe from. And they split off in all different directions and established themselves all over the world.
They are just, I mean, they're reaching, aren't they? This is just nonsense.
If the continent was that big, I think there would definitely be more evidence of it.
Yeah, I think you'd know about it.
On the map, the size they thought it was, I was like, are you joking?
Yeah, when I think about Atlantis, I'm thinking of something like the size of, like, Stukely.
Like Monaco or something, you know, yes. Like a city-state, something like that.
Yeah, or like the Vatican. Just but like this a
was
little...
like almost like this. It was almost like half of Greenland or something in the middle of the ocean. It was mad, anyway.
The Nazis were mad.
Yeah, they were mad bastards.
Hot take. That's why they wanted to send the Jews to Madagascar.
Oh my days!
I'm getting all the low hanging fruit today.
Is that where we've got to? Nazi jokes is.
Is it?
Yeah.
He does. These are worse puns than. These are some of the worst puns I've ever heard, let alone Weird Tales.
Yeah.
I bet he still can't. That's saying something.
It is saying
something.
I bet
he still can't think of one on the outro.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can. Nothing that bad. Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty much covered the Nazi stuff. Anything else you can remember from the doc, Bob? I think that was pretty much it, wasn't it? Just talking about Ron.
I mean,
that quest.
The stuff I said, I just made bullet points when I was watching it, just in case you didn't get around to it. And I had some free time last night.
I watched it, and I just didn't make notes. I was cooking.
Yeah, like I literally just, I was like, oh, it's 45 minutes. I'll watch it before I go to bed. And I made those bullet points.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff I wrote down.
Yeah. Yeah, so that I guess, I wonder if that is the inspiration behind having Nazis in Indiana Jones. I know they're in it before.
It's got to be in it.
But that's, you know, it makes sense.
For this film, like, because the first film was like earlier in the war, and then the second film was a prequel, and then this is now like the direct sequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's like the next year in the war or whatever. And it feels like they found out about this. Oh, did you know the Nazis looked for the Holy Grail? There's a story in there somewhere, because what do we need? Mad villains and an artifact. Cool, we've got it in one here.
Yeah. And in this one, in the film, everyone apart from Indiana Jones is a baddie and his dad. Everyone turns out to be bad. The person who hired him.
And Marcus.
And Marcus, yeah. Although Marcus is bad at protecting himself.
He's bad at, yeah, he got lost in his own museum, do you know that, or whatever it is, he says.
Terrible. So yeah, that's the Nazis link to the Grail. But yeah, I've got a few other sort of stories about the other quests, other people that have quested for it, and potential other places where it could be.
Oh, cool.
So have you guys heard any of the Arthurian tales of Percival or Galahad?
I know of the Galahad stuff because of 5 Minute Folklore. Some of that came up, especially when I looked into Irish folklore, because there's a lot of overlap. And obviously Percival was mentioned in that doc we watched last night, because that's the texts that Otto Rahn was looking at.
Right.
Where he was pulling his information from.
Yeah.
Only loosely.
What did you know about Galahad then? So what? Because Galahad had quite a few tales, right? He was like a knight of the Round Table.
Yeah, that's it. Just the existence of it. Like, there's, I get so mixed up in all the Arthurian legend tales because there's so many of them. There's like the Green Knight and Galahad and the Lady of the Lake and all that stuff. I just know the names really and rough outlines of some of the stories. Yeah.
Mm.
Cool.
Tis, you might actually like it. The film that came out last year, which is a version of The Green Knight. I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah, with...
Dev Patel.
Yes, Dev Patel.
Did you watch it?
Really good, yeah.
It's awesome.
I think I was stoned when I watched it, so I can't remember it. So I should watch it again.
That is the right state to watch it in, because it's fucking bonkers. It's really weird and like fantastical.
Yeah, in the moment, but then I just forget it. But recently I've been enjoying films and actually remembering them, so maybe I'll watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, I love that film.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Everything Everywhere All at Once? We spoke about this before.
Yeah, I saw it at the pre-screening before it came out.
Ooh!
No.
I saw it everywhere all at once, mate. You've not seen it yet, Beef?
No.
I was going to suggest it to you, Tis, and then I kept forgetting. Did you like it?
It's probably the best film I've ever seen.
When I watched it, I was like, Tis would love that. And then I kept forgetting to sell it to you. And then by now, I was like, he has to have heard of it by now. So I didn't mention it, but yeah.
Yeah, everyone was mentioning it to me. And it came on Amazon. And I've watched it about 3 times, because it takes that many times to really like understand it, because it is so, you know, involved. But yeah, really good. Really love it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay. I've Where can I watch it?
Amazon Prime?
Yeah, it's an Amazon Prime exclusive at the minute.
Okay. Oh, sweet.
It's really good. It's actually got in it, that's why we brought it up last time, it's the kid who played Short Round is in it.
Really?
He's like one of the leads. It's him and Michelle Yeoh's in it and Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Jamie Lee
and
Curtis.
It's about multiversal stuff and positivity in connections between people in a random universe and stuff. It's a good film.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay. Really, awesome. Really crazy.
Wow.
And it has some of the most crazy visuals you'll see in a film. And it's amazing how small a budget they made a film that feels this impressive on. It's really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
We've got a couple of things to watch now. Going to be busy. I'll start with a documentary because I'm falling asleep whilst watching things at the minute now. So I tend to get about 40 minutes in and then I fall asleep on the sofa.
Yeah, I think Everything Everywhere is it's at least 2 hours long.
Yeah.
I'll watch it over a few days.
Yeah, watch it over a few days because it is a lot to take in.
That's how I watch films now.
You can actually, it's actually told in three acts, Beef. You could watch it an act because it's Everything Everywhere all at once. Yeah. So you could watch one act, then act two, then act three.
Okay. It's doable.
Yeah.
Has natural stopping points for you.
Sweet.
So back to Percival and Galahad. So Percival's story, if I don't butcher it too hard, Percival was this sort of unlikely sort of son of knights, and his mum tried to keep him from being a knight. And he's a bit stupid, actually, apparently. He's not the sort of typical hero from a story. But one day he went out and about, and he met some knights and didn't know who they were, didn't know what it was about, because his mum had shielded him from it. And then, yeah, he sort of was very interested. He went back and spoke to his mum about it, and she finally told him that, his dad and brother had been knights and that's why they were dead, and that he was the only one that was left. And he, decided to then go and find how he could become a knight. So he left home, never to see his mum again. And he stumbled across a castle on his travels. He met the Fisher King, I think it's called. Yeah, the Fisher King. And this story is from Chrétien de Troyes, Story of the Grail. This is the first instance of the story of the Grail. And he goes into this castle and is allowed to stay. And while he's I've missed a bit. Before the castle, he meets someone on the road, and someone gives him some advice to never ask questions because he might look stupid. So he sort of remembers that. So when he's at the castle,
that's how I live my life.
When he's at the castle, there's a procession that happens in the evening. And there's a procession of a blood-soaked spear, a white lance with blood tip, a big candle. I don't know what you'd call the big candles with the many spouts. A candlelet or something.
Candelabra.
That's the one, candelabra. And a maiden holding a grail.
Mm.
This procession happens and they all look at Percival. And of course, because he has been told by people on the road, or someone on the road, this sage advice in his head to not ask questions, he humbly keeps himself to himself, doesn't ask anything about it, and it sort of moves on without any further word.
Ask no questions, tell no lies.
Precisely. And so, yeah, he...
Is that the grail?
He wakes
don't
up...
Don't ask questions, you look stupid.
He wakes up in the morning and thinks, I'm going to ask about this. And he wakes up to find the castle completely empty. And he leaves, and on his way out, he meets another maiden in distress, or sort of wailing, next to a dead knight, a headless knight. And he goes to speak to her, and instantly she's on him like, did you not ask anything about the procession? Did you not ask anything about any of the items that you saw? And he's sort of like, no, I didn't. And she was like, if you just asked something about them, then the king would still be alive, or something like this. It would have healed the king's illness, which sounds confusing, and it won't really be cleared up because it is a quite confusing story.
There all are. All these stories of the Knights of the Round Table, and that's so confusing.
That maiden turned out to be his cousin, and she said, by the way, your mum's dead. Your mum died when you left because she died of grief. And that unholy act of leaving your mum and causing that prevented you from asking a question about it and getting the Holy Grail. And it turned out that the person who, the Fisher King, was his cousin, and the king, the Fisher King was his cousin, and the old king was his uncle. So it was his family. He'd kind of like, it's very fucking confusing.
Did you keep up with that, Beef?
You know what this sounds like, right?
Someone relaying their dream?
Yeah,
it sounds like a dream.
You know when
it?
You have a dream and you're clearly what's happening in a dream is your brain is trying on its own to piece together how conversations work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
just... This is why I never did a full on like Arthurian legend episode of 5 Minute Folklore. Because all the stories are so sort of like indecipherable. And you know when you're like, oh, by the way, it turns out this happens. It feels like twists come out of nowhere and you're like, well, that's not really a twist.
It's not even a twist.
No.
Yeah, it's not even a twist.
Why, Tiss, that Green Knight film, you know, you're like, yeah, it's just like really weird. Like, yeah, exactly. Because they just told a straight up telling of a story that makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, and this one makes no sense.
And that's why being stoned probably helped your enjoyment of it.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like I'm listening to Joel telling me about his day at school. But and then this happened, and then that, and then
so,
this
hang
kid
on a minute.
Did this thing.
What did that story have to do with the Holy Grail?
So that was the Holy Grail. In the castle, in the procession.
Oh, of course,
The maiden holding the grail.
Right, yes. I forgot about the grail, yeah.
And he vowed, after that, he vowed to try and get back to the castle, and he never succeeded in one of the stories.
Never succeeded.
Another story.
Because he couldn't ask any questions, he couldn't ask the directions.
Something like this, yeah.
And there was three... You said there were three things. There was the candelabra as well.
Candelabra, the blood-soaked lance, and the grail.
And the grail.
What would you take, Beef?
I don't think it's about taking. I think it was literally just asking about them. It wasn't like, here's your prize type.
So were they like, if you asked, you could have used the grail to save
I think if
he
just asked about it, it would have...
He would have realised what it was.
No, I think the king would have... If he'd asked, the king wouldn't have died of illness. That's the takeaway from this. And it's why? I don't understand
Did
why.
He know that? Because he was told not to ask questions or he'd look stupid.
By someone who...
This is Percival's stories.
This is Arthurian stories.
This is...
Arthurian stories. Yeah.
Sorry, Jess, this isn't at you. This is all because, like Bob said, these things are just insane.
I can never follow them.
I've not smoked weed for a very long time, so it you know, I would have put it down to that, but it's not that. I'm pretty switched on, and the stories make
no
stories make no sense.
Remember when I did the Greek myths? Remember when I did the Greek myths? And it's like, do you remember? And it was all crazy.
I am Homocles.
And then, so there's another Arthurian tale of Galahad, where Percival is involved, but Galahad is the gallant knight who is charged by the Round Table to get the Grail.
Right.
And he is Lancelot's son, so Galahad goes off to get the Grail, and... I don't think they succeed either, and I think actually Galahad ends up dying in a cell, and that's it's a pretty boring story. I feel like after the Percival one, I'm just like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, the Galahad one is basically he tried to get the Grail and he didn't and ended up dying in a cell.
Yeah. I guarantee in the middle of that story there's some really, like, you know, irrelevant things that also happen.
Yeah.
That have no bearing on the final.
But now I'm tentative about mentioning any of it because it really makes no sense. It's a waste of my time and yours. We'll just...
I think his storytelling was just differently back then. We crave cohesion now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like reading a book, but the middle of the book is like the pages are stuck together. So you just go from like the beginning to the end and you're like, oh, hang on a minute. Well, I'm not really quite sure what happened there, but...
I think I got the gist of it.
Yeah. It's like once upon a time, Galahad set off to get the Grail, but he didn't and he died in a cell. Oh.
I shit you not. I was listening to the story of Galahad. And I had to rewind it about 6 times because it made no fucking sense. It just did not go in.
No, it's not you. Like I say, it made
no sense. Every time I'd listen back, it was like I'd missed something. It was like I'd got like I just did. And you're just like, okay, sorry, how did we get to that bit? And you'd rewind and you'd listen again and you just couldn't believe there was no link between the two things.
So can I ask, you know when you asked at the beginning of this if we knew about the stories of Parsifal and Galahad, and I said, oh, kind of, and you were like, what do you know? Were you hoping that I just knew the story?
Well, it could have maybe shed some light on what I'd listened to, because I fucking listened to, like, something, which was a historian about it, and it was just nothing, absolute no meat at all. It was like biting into a sausage roll and having air and pastry. What's the point?
Well, what is the point, indeed?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Like, secretly, inside his heart, I really hope that you've heard these stories and can recount them because I can't be bothered.
Did you do this one on 5 minute? Please say you did. No, I did. I did the Irish ones instead. I did, like, Caradwen, and they're way better. They actually have, like, a plot. I like the idea of the Arthurian legend, but whenever I look into any of the stories, they're a bit incomprehensible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
Queen Mab, Queen Maeve, that's a good one. That's all Irish, though.
They've got lots of great names.
Irish is just better storytellers, I think. They're just better storytellers than English.
Well, yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Big time. So that's the Arthurian stuff. It's very confusing and makes no fucking sense. Just like any of the old-timey stories, really.
Old-timey.
Yeah. Ye old stories. So that's kind of like the...
So the Arthurian stories aren't as old as the Bible, are they? Otherwise they wouldn't be searching for biblical things. So why
aren't
is it
they
the
like
stories...
medieval?
Why are the stories from the Bible better than the ones that came after it?
Well, there's debates that King Arthur even existed.
Yeah, I don't think he... I think he's fictional.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, and real life usually makes more sense than that shit.
Yeah, I mean, them stories are full of like giants and witches and ghosts and stuff. I think they're just fables.
Yeah, you could read between the lines with certain of it if it made sense.
Mm. Yeah, but you could like it's like we talked about with David and Goliath. He might have just been like a really big bloke, described as a giant. But when they're also surrounded by like ghosts and witches and talking animals and stuff, it's like, well,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit harder to grasp, isn't it? It's a good question. I guess I don't know, it's different literature, isn't it?
It's the thing is they're poems, they're epic poems, a lot of them round table ones.
It's poems, it's legend and fables.
And epic poems in their nature are flowery and metaphorical. And then if you're not in touch with the language of the era, trying to decipher a metaphor that's like hundreds of years old, you don't even get the context and what it's being a metaphor for anymore. It's a different use of purple language.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the Arthurian edge to it. I've got two more different sort of theories about where it could be. One of them takes us to Glastonbury.
Oh, next Weird Tales trip. We're going to go looking for the Holy Grail, boys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very close.
So it's been in Glasto all the time.
Yeah. So there's belief that that. I mean, do you know about Glastonbury Tor?
Yeah.
The Tor being
the
potentially sort of the gateway thing to the underworld. That's what people.
Yeah, apparently.
Some people say.
Is a Tor like a mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've been to Mam Tor. That's not far from here.
Yeah, Glastonbury Tor is yeah, it's like a, it's just a big hill, basically.
Big hill, basically, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, big hill.
And at one point it was an island, because it would have been, everything else would have been underwater, so it was a mythical island at one point.
Hmm.
Hang on, Rachel's correcting me, because it's history.
Oh, here we go.
What? There's a church at the top. I said castle, it's basically the same thing.
No, it's a church.
Church.
It's St. Michael's Church. St. Michael's something.
It's the first church.
The first ever church.
What, ever?
Yeah.
No. Michael Evis.
First church in England.
First no, church in England,
that's
yeah.
That's the
Michael Evis.
Is it really?
Legend.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
Is it really the first church in England?
If I could...
Apparently. Rachel says she doesn't know how you would validate that, but it's supposed to be the first church in England.
No, it is.
I said it's a castle.
No, it is. The first church. I was going to get onto that. It was it's potentially
castle,
the
basically.
First church. There's a lot of reason
Rachel
to believe
it's a castle.
It could be the first
it's
church.
Not a castle. It's the first church.
Because of the pagan sway in Glastonbury, the Christians opened a church in Glastonbury first because that was, you know, battleground. It was to...
Right.
And Joseph of Arimathea travelled to Glastonbury.
Did he?
With the Grail.
Well, this is the link. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes, he did, Beef. Yes, wow. He fucking did. And so there's a story that goes that Joseph of Arimathea was in Glastonbury and he threw his staff...
At the festival.
Stamped his staff at the ground and it turned into a tree.
Right.
Ooh.
And the tree wasn't a UK tree, it was a Middle East tree, which...
Not a UK tree. Was it a burning bush?
It wasn't a burning bush. It was a non-burning tree.
If you get a burning bush, you need to go see the doctor.
Palm tree.
Yeah.
Like that woman who was on Britain's Got Talent.
It was one of those avocado trees.
Britain,
like that woman from
Britain's Got Talent. It wasn't Britain's Got Talent.
What was it on when she set a on fire?
I'm lost. What are you talking about?
Talking about burning bush. That woman that Beef talked about on Weird News. Who
set, oh God! Set a muff on fire. Oh God! That was the
what
worst.
What was it on then? If it wasn't Britain's
Got Talent,
that was
the worst weird story ever.
First
weird story.
First weird news ever. What was it on then if it wasn't Britain's Got Talent? What was it on? Pop Idol?
Pop
Idol? It was, hang on.
He's actually searching.
Sorry, I'm laughing because Tiss said the word muff.
I swear that was verbatim what it said though.
Women no, sets.
Set
vagina on
fire.
I shouldn't be Googling this, but women sets muff on fire. It was a dance competition. Wait.
I thought it was Brit. All this time, I thought it was Britain's Got Talent.
No, she does. I've just seen the video again. It's horrible.
I hope you're on incognito mode searching for that.
Like that makes
no,
a difference.
It's too late now. It doesn't even say. It just says it just said it was a... Oh, it was a fire dancing contest in Jamaica. Wow.
I totally forgot it was in Jamaica.
No smoke without fire, right?
Wow.
Excellent. Excellent.
I think you used that one on the...
Did I really?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, at least I'm consistent. Yeah, so Glastonbury Tor...
Sorry, so Glastonbury Tor...
Was the first... Glastonbury was the site of the first church.
First ever church.
This was Joseph of Arimathea. This was his doing. Because he brought the word of Christ over, because he's a rich aristocrat, he travelled around, and yeah, the tree is still there in Glastonbury, this Middle Eastern tree that gives rise to the rumours, and yeah, there's a belief that he buried the Grail because he was carrying it under the Tor, and that it holds a sacred sort of energy there.
When they found it, they'd have found it, wouldn't they?
And there's rumours that monks found the bones of Arthur, King Arthur, and his inscripted cross in Glastonbury as well. But when Henry VIII destroyed that church and the monument, it's believed that they were desecrated and taken and, you know, destroyed.
I just looked up, because we literally just said, like, I don't think King Arthur was real, and then he said that they found his bones. So I've just searched, was King Arthur real? And guess what? Historians cannot confirm that King Arthur was whether he was real or not.
Yeah.
Some speculate that he was a real warrior who led British armies against Saxon invaders in the 6th century, but some think he's just a legend.
Wow. Inconclusive.
He's a bloody legend, mate.
Beef, can you just ask Rachel if she thinks he's real, as a historian on hand?
Rachel, was King Arthur real?
The way he says it.
There's enough written accounts that there was probably a king King Arthur.
So mummy,
was he real?
What's legend and what's true?
Oh, God.
Mummy, Rachel. So there's evidence that there was a king called Arthur.
Yeah.
But not necessarily who we think as King Arthur.
It's so long ago that myths and legends and real history are really intertwined.
It's probably both, isn't it? Yeah, it's probably both. It's like, yeah, there are stories about a King Arthur. There was also a King Arthur who led armies. It's quite a common name.
Confirmation that it was, in fact, ages ago. Yeah.
But Rachel said it was such a long time ago that the myth and legend and truth all gets merged and it's hard to actually decipher.
Oh, it was ages. It was ages ago. Like, do you know what I mean?
Like flipping ages ago.
It's a bit like St. George and the Dragon, isn't it?
Literally, like...
I think so.
Yeah.
Mummy.
Stuff that happened 5 years ago gets blurred. Do you know what I mean?
It does.
Forget hundreds of years. So potentially Glastonbury on two sort of different...
And it's giving positive energy there.
I mean, positive's a bit of a wishy-washy terms. I think...
That's why there's so many good vibes there.
Energy is energy, isn't it? Positive. It's not positive energy. It's intense... Ley lines.
Whoa, Tis, I feel like you're going back on your word here, because I remember you talking about positive energies on the pod before.
What, specifically about Glastonbury? Positive energy is quite a loose term, isn't it? I mean, positivity is a human concept.
It's very loose term.
It's positive energy. I can put positive energy out. I think energy is energy, right?
Yes. I just feel, I'm just thinking, like, is this why there's so many, like, groovy vibes, man, at Glastonbury?
Well, is there groovy vibes at Glastonbury? There's a lot of oddballs in Glastonbury. Is that what you were talking about?
I think it's the drugs.
Yeah. When you drive through, so the festival we used to go to near Glastonbury
festival.
Every year.
Well, Glastonbury Festival.
No, it wasn't Glastonbury.
Could have you heard of it? There's a festival near Glastonbury.
Such an idiot.
Do you know what? I think he said this on the pod before and we made the same jokes.
I think so.
I'm almost certain.
Regurgitating our...
Of course we did. I can't fucking help it if he sets me up like that.
It's too easy,
right,
isn't
it? So you're at Glastonbury Festival, yeah? Glastonbury.
No, so we would drive through Glastonbury. Oh,
we had a listener recently message in saying how funny they find it when they said when Bob and Tis gang up on Beef and don't let him get a word in edgeways.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow. Going against the listeners there, Beef.
So basically when you go through Glastonbury, Rachel always made the joke that it looks like you know in Harry Potter when the witches and wizards try to dress like muggles and they can't.
Oh yeah, like, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they can't dress properly because they don't understand how to dress.
Well, like near Diagon Alley.
That's what it looks like. It just looks like people walking and you're like, you can't.
I've never been there.
Like you look at people and you're like, where would you even buy clothes like that? Like, I don't understand. Is those clothes like...
He's talking about druids.
Like, with wolves on. You know, when you see people and then, like, they've got the big fleeces with wolves. And you're like, I've never seen that in the shop.
Well,
there's not. I wouldn't.
You've clearly not been to a shop in Glastonbury because there's definitely shops dedicated.
Clearly, it's just
to
wolf
t-shirts and
coats.
I mean, there's definitely some weird and wonderful people in Glasto for sure. And the
I'm sure they're all nice people.
The mythology, the pagan mythology, is what draws them to it. The Celtic pagan mythology and ley lines and that sort of stuff.
But has anyone actually looked? Tis, has anyone looked for the Grail at Glastonbury then?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Right, properly? Or have they done like a bloke look?
They've never found it.
Are they just sort of like go, no, I don't think it's here.
No, I think they've had a look. They've had a good old...
Where would you start? If it's just buried anyway, like, what are you going to do, dig up a whole mountain?
Yeah.
How far down do you go?
As far as you need
6
to.
6 foot.
It's not made of metal, is it? You're not going to get your metal detector.
Yeah, but they're not going to... How far are they going to be able to bury it? They're not going to be able
2,000 years ago?
Mm.
Yeah,
give or take.
Surely you just follow the positive vibes, the positive energy, and you'll find it.
Well, maybe we should go looking for it.
You're not allowed to dig at Glastonbury, Rachel
there
says.
Go.
It's a Grade 1 listed site.
Oh, that's there the perfect setup, isn't it? So now you can't do it because it's protected.
There you go.
That's it. That's where it's buried.
Yeah.
Possibly, but Tis, you've got one more theory for us, right?
Go on.
Yeah, so that's Glastonbury out of the way. And the other one is potentially Scotland.
That Otto Rahn, he looked in Scotland as well.
Yeah, there's Kilwinning Abbey.
Did he find it?
No.
And there's Roslyn Chapel. Both very heavily to do with the Templars. The Templars... when they were persecuted in 1307, they left France and apparently fled to potentially Scotland. And yeah, the Knights Templar are supposedly rumoured to have had access to the Holy Grail and lots of other holy relics and artifacts. But the Roslyn Chapel has been, what do you call it, infrared scanned or... maybe it's not infrared, but it's a scan where they've scanned the pillars of the actual chapel.
Oh.
Because there was a lot of belief that there was stuff hidden in the chapel. So that one's a no-go, but it could have been there at some point in history, the same as Kilwinning Abbey. There's potential that it could be buried there.
Could they not use infrared at Glastonbury?
I think it's Grade 1 listed infrared site, so you can't use that sort of stuff.
See, yeah, it's Grade 1 listed against the infrared. You can't even infrared it.
You can't even fucking do anything, mate. You can light incense. That's about it. You can smudge for spirits.
Yeah, okay.
I was smudging yesterday.
What's smudging?
I was doing a voodoo ritual yesterday. Was to it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Glastonbury is wonderful, though. You can get... there's a spring in Glastonbury which runs red, and they think it's... That's why they...
The blood of Christ.
They think it's the blood of Christ. It's actually the red oxide. The iron...
Or is it?
Yeah, it's like...
The iron reacting.
Is it? Yeah, it's just the iron in the water, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, that's what they say, isn't it?
Is it red, red wine?
Well.
It is a well.
Well.
Red, red wine.
It is a well.
Well.
Oh, punny. Very punny today, aren't
they? Hang on a minute. So they've infrareded the chapel.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
No.
So they cross that off the list.
But who did the survey? Was it a 4 o'clock on a Friday sort of job? Do you know what I mean? How thorough were they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What do you mean the infrared in the chapel? Maybe it was deep in the ground. How far can you infrared something?
I don't know. I keep saying infrared, but actually I don't know what technology it is to do that.
I don't think it's infrared.
I don't think it's infrared.
Isn't that when you walk into a nightclub and your t-shirt glows up or something?
That's UV.
Oh, that's ultraviolet.
Yeah.
That's UV.
Yes.
Isn't infrared like lasers? You know when we used to get people writing to us telling us how like stupid we were and...
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is that.
And then we had that guy on Facebook. He's coming back after this episode.
Infrared's how you turn your TV on. That's the little beam.
Is it them lights that you drive cats nuts with?
Cats nuts? Oh, sorry, yeah.
No, you drive cats crazy. Like the, yeah, not, the pen
I was
light.
Like, what?
You don't drive cats nuts. Nuts.
That's just lasers. You're talking just lasers now. Infrared, I don't think is visible. It's one of the. It's on the. It's a different right. wavelength to.
What are them laser pens then?
They're just lasers. Mm-hmm. Great level they're grade three lasers. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you can't. Right. So infrared. Okay. It's when you if you Google infrared. Now I've seen a picture. I'm like, oh yeah, that. So it's you can't see it, but you can feel it as heat. So it's like heat sensitive.
That feels like it's not good for you.
No, it doesn't.
You just feel.
Oh, hang on a minute. So infrared technology is they've started to install it in cars now. So when you're driving, it's like you know your parking camera.
Mm.
They fit like a front, like a front camera.
Mm.
And infrared detects so like animals or children or anything as you're driving along.
Anything
and then
living.
If something runs out, it breaks just slam on.
It can detect living creatures.
Yeah, by the heat, by the infrared, and it wow. if something tried to cross the road.
Oh, it's what they scan over Homer's house when they think he's in the oven stewing in his own juices. Yeah,
and there's our weekly yeah, we Simpsons go. Reference. There we go, we got it in. Yes, okay.
So there you go. It could be infrared.
No, I do know what infrared is now, yeah. And I apologise to the listeners for being a right dodo.
I mean, listeners, it's late. We're talking out of our absolute arses tonight.
Yeah, it's gone past 10 o'clock in the evening now. We're all a bit tired. Okay, well, so they've given it a go with infrared, and it's not there. Right.
How would you find a cup with infrared?
Yeah, surely it's not going to be very hot, is it? Unless, hang on a minute, is positive energy hot?
Well, it's got the blood of Christ in it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Hot-blooded.
Taste it and see. For goodness sake.
Tiss, are you still there?
Sorry, I am still here, sorry.
Tiss is gone.
This episode is falling apart.
It fell apart at the start, to be fair. It fell apart on the intro.
It's careering down a fucking mountain.
It fell apart when I said, welcome to...
No, what was the aggressive way you started the episode?
If you didn't know.
If you didn't know already.
Oh, in case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know.
This is Tess, in case you didn't know. Wow. Right, Tis, what else have you got for us? I feel like this is dying.
It is dying, just like Jesus when he bled into the Holy Grail. Sorry, Beef, that was a low
Flipping
blow.
Heck.
That was a low blow, which I imagine the Romans did to him before they put him on the cross. But,
mate, these are rough.
It's so bad, isn't it?
Sorry.
They're so rough.
Yeah, I feel a bit rough. I feel a bit rough.
Yeah.
Out of sorts. Yeah, that's everything. Everything to do with the Grail in existence.
It's not in Petra and Jordan. It's not, guarded by a 700-year-old knight making you choose a cup.
I don't think so. No. I'm not entirely sure, but I don't think so.
I like that bit where he drinks the wrong cup and ages in super fast motion.
I love that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chose poorly.
The thing with Last Crusaders, I feel like Last Crusade is, it's got a good start and a good end, but the middle's really flabby.
Yeah, the ending is amazing. The middle's fucking shocking.
Like Galahad's tale.
Basically, the whole beginning third, where they're on like the quest for like the Grail and stuff's really cool.
Yeah.
The end, the last like 20 minutes fucking rules.
Like when the guy gets his head cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's just like, what is it?
Only the penitent man may pass.
That's it. And he's just like, penitent, bow! And he gets down on his knees. And
yeah,
then,
on your knees.
And then puts like a little like bit of wood in like the cogs. Like the blades are running on like cogs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like so ridiculous. Like,
Path of God.
When the guy gets his head cut off, you can't even see the blade. And then, like, from the side angle, it's just, like, this old sort of, like, hamster wheel fucking blade. It's like, what?
That's it, isn't it? It's all tricks, though. You're supposed to think it's mystical. It's like that bridge at the end. You're supposed to take a leave of faith. Actually, it's just an optical illusion.
Yeah.
There is a bridge there. It's all to make it look more mystical than it is. But then they get in the chamber, and it is actually mystical.
Yeah. And then they pick up, like, the most expensive goblet, and it's like,
yeah,
come on.
Typical like Nazi decadence of like, oh, it's got to be that one. Yeah, yeah, that's the one, the most decadent one. As if
Jesus was well bling, mate.
That's when when Indy picks up the wooden one. He said, no, that's the cup of a carpenter.
Yeah, blatantly.
And he's bang on.
Yeah, and he is. Yeah. And then Sean Connery gets his wounds sort of healed.
It's a bit shit though, isn't it? Because they say like you can't go past the seal of it. So like you can live forever, but you got to stay in this one room.
Yeah.
It's so shit.
Why the fuck would you do that? I mean, that knight is literally exactly. Like so bored out of his fucking mind.
He just wants someone to take over for him, doesn't he? He's just like, yeah, I want to pass this on to someone.
Yeah.
To guard it.
He didn't have, much in the way of things to do. I'd have like a sort of tennis ball. I think you could throw a tennis ball at a wall for a few thousand years.
I'd at least bring in like a Game Boy or I'd bring in like a Switch or something. I could download some games on here.
Yeah, you'd have to get a Jenny.
I don't know if you'd get any...
a Jenny with...
I don't know if you get any 4G.
Some fuel.
How long is that going to last though?
You'd kind of want to set up a situation where someone would airdrop stuff into you. Well, if you get a good relationship with someone who also...
You've got no power source. How long is your Game Boy going to last?
Well, solar power. Get someone to set up the solar power in exchange for, I don't know, offer them the Holy Grail... In return, right? But then give them one of the fucking scam. Shiny ones and then see their heads turn to like old
yeah,
people.
Yeah, that's definitely it, mate. That's definitely the Holy Grail.
Yeah, 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 yeah. this setup's definitely going to work, yeah? Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, that's the Grail. That's the Grail. But yeah,
anyway,
that's it. That's the Holy Grail.
That's the one.
Fucking done, mate. Done.
Smashed done, it. That, I enjoyed that.
Done
that
and done.
Good, man.
That was. It was good fun.
It was shocking. The Arthurian tales were shocking.
Classic weird tales, isn't it?
They just don't make any sense.
They make no sense. Yeah. And I don't make sense. The combination is tantalising.
Listeners, if you want to knock some sense into us, you can get into contact. It's WTATUpod@gmail.com or you can go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. Contact through there. On that website, there's also links to all sorts of other guff that we talk about. There's social media, there's... buying merch, there's links to stuff, there's ways to support us monetarily, all that stuff. Just go on weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com to find stuff there. That's it. Next time we're finishing up the indie series with everyone's favorite film in the saga, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and we've got Rick in because none of us wanted to do that one.
Yeah, sorry, Rick.
I didn't even know it existed.
I said that to Rick. Tis, give it a go. I would actually be fascinated to what you think to it. The turns it goes through is fascinating.
Okay. Is it Shia LaBeouf in this one?
Yes.
I can't really remember it. I really can't. Like, I couldn't...
I'm going to watch it again. And I've watched it a fucking lot, because my little brothers used to really like it when they were kids. We had the Blu-ray of it in our house.
2008, wow.
I had it on HD DVD.
It was like right at the start when Blu-ray started being more like common in the home, and it was one of the only Blu-rays we had. It was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Do you remember the HD DVD extension for the 360?
Yes.
The most ridiculous fucking thing.
Just that alone was like the downfall for it. Like, you had to buy the extension, or if you had the PlayStation, it had a Blu-ray drive built in.
Yeah.
Like, that pretty much made or broke the whole system.
PlayStations costed, like, probably £100 cheaper than the cheapest Blu-ray, like, player. Yes.
That's why I bought a PlayStation, because like, I wanted a Blu-ray player, and I was like, well, that's both.
Yeah.
A Blu-ray player then was £500, and a PS4 was £400 when it came out, which everyone was like, £400, that's fucking loads. But it's like, it's got a Blu-ray player built into it.
Yeah. And everyone who wanted a Blu-ray player just thought, fuck it, I'll get a PlayStation. Even if they didn't play games.
Yeah, exactly.
Sony coined it in on that.
Yeah. And that's what destroyed HD-DVD.
Are you serious? £500 for a Blu-ray
player?
That's
how much Blu-ray players were when they first came out, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
I've got a Night at the Museum on Blu-ray.
Nice.
Like, what a waste. What a waste of a film on Blu-ray.
They were expensive when they first came out as well, Blu-rays.
Yeah, I remember them being like £25.
Yeah, they were a lot. You could get a good deal if you went to like Blockbusters. You could buy like 2 Blu-rays for £30, and I was like, whoa, that's fucking good. That's still like £15 for a film, but...
Mm. But then you think videos were the same video.
Videos were a lot, yeah.
Back in the day.
I did have a select... I had quite a lot of Blu-rays though. I still have some.
I don't know where they came from, some of the Blu-rays we've got. Like, we've got,
just creep into the home.
Is it National Treasure? Nick Cage film?
Wow, Nick Cage, yeah.
Don't know why that, we've got that somewhere on Blu-ray. We've got weird Blu-ray, but then we've also got some good ones.
Do you remember when DVDs first come out?
Yeah.
I remember my DVD player, I got like 100 free films, and they were all shit. They were all shit. I can't think of one. One of them that was included, the only one that I remember was Going Overboard, which was like an Adam Sandler film before he even made Adam Sandler films.
I don't know that one.
Like his first ever film.
Wow.
Oh no, and Animal Farm, the animal version, you know, with the animals, the real animals. It was filmed with real animals.
The animated one?
No.
Do you mean Babe?
No.
I only know the animated one.
Animal Farm. Yeah, no, Animal Farm's got a real animals version.
Flippin' heck.
Oh.
Yeah, and I had it on DVD.
Yeah, we had The Mask with ours. I can't remember what else, but The Mask was the one I remember.
The Mask. Somebody stop me!
Yeah, it was smoking.
Oh, yeah.
The first DVD I watched was, I remember, I went round to my aunt and uncle's to babysit for my cousin, and... it was The Matrix.
Oh yeah, that was one of the first ones. That was a classic.
And my uncle was like, you are going to love this film. And I remember watching it on DVD and watching him being like, this is the future.
Yeah, that was one of the first DVDs that came around, was The Matrix, and everyone had it.
I am living in the future. That was before they were in the plastic cases. They were in, like, the cardboard cases.
I was about to say, it had a cardboard sleeve.
Yeah.
So did The Mask, sitting there watching The Mask director's commentary.
Oh, my director's commentary of The Mask? Are you serious?
No, I don't think I ever watched that. I've watched some very questionable director's commentaries in my time, though. Just like, oh, just whack, because like, this is the days before podcasts. I like listening to people talk about stuff in the background.
Yeah.
So I used to whack on a director. I've watched like director's commentary of like American Pie.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus Christ.
That's fucking shameful.
I would love to listen to a director's commentary of The Mask now. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I actually do. You know, there's a really good one, a director's commentary of like Conan the Barbarian with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's just like, he's pretty much just describing what's happening in the film. He's just like, ha ha, now we are running, look, we are running, ha ha, look, we are riding that horse now, ha ha.
Oh my word.
Yeah. Director's commentaries. I used to like them. Anyway, Tis, wrap us up. We got to get out of here. I want to go to bed. I've got an early start tomorrow.
Cool. You know where to get hold of us on the emails, bloody blah, weird blah blah, the blah blah. Catch us on the website, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what any
got
of
it. That stuff's done.
Oh, cool.
Done that.
Where's your pun?
Oh, the pun. Sorry.
Pun us out of here.
Okay. Until next time, I hope you Galahad had a good time listening to this episode.
You know, it's not the worst we've ever had.
It's not the worst one, is
no,
it?
No, it's really
it's not. It's sort of in the middle.
It's the best one we've had in a long time, but we've had some doozies.
Yeah, for us, it says something about the quality of our puns when that's somewhere in the middle.
That's fucking horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
It depresses me on a different level, because it's not bad, but it depresses me that that's an okay one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so until next time, stay depressed.
And in our naivety, we thought at one point we would have one every episode.
Yeah. Right, love you lots, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
See you later. Bye-bye. So, what was the hurricane like?
Pretty mad.
Was it worse than the storms we had in February?
Yeah. I was trying to remember the storms we had in February, and then I just thought, why am I trying to remember? I know it was worse than that. It's like the worst storm I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy. We were right opposite, literally just like, you know, two cars width away from a substation.
Right.
And that got hit by lightning and lit the sky up. And it was insane.
Wow.
About 1 o'clock in the morning. Just like you just heard. And you could just hear like, when it hit, it went like the whole sky lit up because lightning just hit a power substation. And then it all just went, you just heard that fucking noise that you only hear in films, and I was like, oh shit. But I drank a lot the night before, because I was like, we're going for a hurricane, I'm just gonna get pissed. And went to bed pretty tipsy.
Yeah.
And then at 1 in the morning, that sort of woke me up. Obviously there was like 2 big lightning flashes before, and that woke me up, and then I saw that lightning hit that. And then when that happened, Becca was like, oh shit. And I was just like, well, that's the power gone then, and just sort of rolled back over and went to sleep, because I was still pretty chill. I was in like the perfect state of like tipsiness to be like, well, we knew the power was going to go out. Like, everyone was shitting themselves the next morning. Like, what are we going to do? We've got no power. I was like, we knew there was going to be no power. We knew at the very minimum the power was going to go out.
Yeah.
I was very calm about it. Like, I already cooked loads of food for us the night before, so we could eat. Like, I cooked pasta and stuff the night before, because I knew that there was going to have no power. So like, I made cold pasta salad. That's food. Like, I was prepared.
Yeah.
And it just felt like everyone in the house acted prepared the day before. And then when it happened, everyone was like, what do we do? What do we do? I was like, we stay in the house, because we got messages from the government saying, don't leave the house.
Mm.
And we just read a book while we've got sunlight. And what else can you do?
Yeah. Well, it's not much you can do.
No. Like, we had food, we had drink, we bought plenty of drink.
It sounds like I want you in an emergency.
I was pretty calm. I was happy with how calm I was.
That's good. Well, what can you do? You can't change anything, I suppose. You just got to...
Yeah. And I had already managed to get us into a safer accommodation, because obviously I booked all the accommodation for the trip, so I managed to get us out of one accommodation into another. I managed to move stuff around and get us into a safer place before it kicked off. Into like more like the city, rather than like we were nearer the coast. So I got us to a safer home.
Oh, that's good.
And then I was just like, right, everyone knuckle down, because this is what's going to happen for the next few days. And it, you know, we were only without power for about less than 24 hours. It was like 23 hours. It could have been way worse.
Well, that's not too bad.
No.
As long as you're prepared.
Yeah.
Did you get water and stuff? Could you still...
Yeah, we had water, but actually the taps didn't stop running. The taps were fine.
Huh.
But we did have water just in case.
Yeah, you just ride it out, I guess, don't you?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine that much wind and rain.
Yeah, the wind is mad. And like the house literally next door to us were flooded, but we were all right.
Wow.
Because a tree went through their roof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I woke up in the morning and looked out the window, and he was like had a big like container, like almost like a big washing up bowl, but bigger, and was just, like, pouring water out of his bedroom window with that. And I was just like, oh, poor fucker. I saw him dragging his mattress out into the front garden later in the day and stuff. Like, oh my God, the house is fucked.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
And because the tree had gone down on the electrical cables, like, all the cables were, like, wrapped in the tree and, like, in his fucking house. Like, cables and tree and everything just through his roof.
Wow. You guys were quite lucky then.
Yeah, yeah. That, like I say, that was literally next door. And then the substation was opposite us, so...
See? I was praying for you guys. That's what happens.
Yeah, so some other fucker got my bad luck, right? Very Christian of you.
Because that's how God works. Yeah. He's like, oh, some, all right.
Dear God, give it to some poor God I don't know.
I've got to take out on someone now. I've got too much wrath. I'll give Bobby and Becca a...
Maybe he was a really bad person. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we don't know. Maybe he's a serial killer or something.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, that's nuts. I've got a friend who lives in Florida. Oh, I say friend. I just know her.
An acquaintance.
And she's got a picture of her pool, and the like lake or whatever outside is all just one big lake.
Yeah.
Now, and it's come right up, and she's got all these sandbags and stuff.
Yeah, the roads are all flooded and stuff.
Yeah. I'm surprised you managed to get still get your flight and stuff.
It was kind of mad. Like, although the traffic was a bit mad because all the power was gone, so there was no, like, traffic lights and stuff.
Right.
So until the power came back, it was all just a bit mad. It's just a bit mad. I just stayed in and read a book and drank loads of beer, and I was fine.
Yeah.
I bought loads of beer, and I cooked loads of food in preparation, and I had a 500-page book to read, so I was just like, cool, I'm sorted. Wait for the whole thing to blow over.
Oh, literally blow over, yeah. It looks like, because I was tracking it on my weather app, like I was just watching it, and it was giving me live updates and showing me how it was going to move. And it looked like it kind of split in two partway through, and that you guys got like the tail end and it sort of went further north.
We kind of got it in two waves, actually. We were kind of like that split sort of went over. So we had a really stormy day the day before, and then the real storm hit on that second wave. But by the time it got to us, actually, like when it was like nowhere near as bad as they thought it was going to be. Like the coast got hit really bad, but actually by the time it got to where we were, again, because I said I moved to our accommodation, it really died down, even like not as bad as they said. They still said it was one of the worst storms for 100 years. It was still pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I thought the roof was going to cave in and stuff. And we were relatively unscathed.
That's awesome.
And the next day, like as soon as it went over, the next day was bright sunshine. It was really weird.
Wow.
It was just like bright sunshine. We went back to Disneyland.
That's crazy how quickly Disney opened as well.
Yes. Yeah, it closed for 2 days, I think.
Got to get that money in.
It's just insane. They would have had people working basically through that.
Yes, and the parks opened late as well. It was like they normally all open at 8 o'clock, but it opened at 10. But there's four parks in there, so one opened at 10, one opened at 11, one opened at 12, one opened at 1. So they had like a staggered opening.
Lazy bastards! They should have been working through the night with floodlights.
I think they were as well.
They should have been working harder through the night with floodlights.
The mouse ain't going to give them any time off.
That's just insane.
Yeah. Right.
Are we
Chairman Mouse?
Are we ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Right, okay, let's get some silence. I've been recording for half an hour already. I probably just delete it.
Yeah, me too.
At least I'm consistent.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.